This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U Mobile.
You're listening to The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark. Diplomatic ties between Malaysia and France have been in place since Malaysia achieved independence in 1957. Since then, France has become Malaysia's fifth largest foreign investor amongst EU countries and our 18th largest global trading partner. So in light of that, it's my pleasure to welcome to the show this morning His Excellency Roland Galarrague, the Ambassador of France to Malaysia. Ambassador, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. Good morning.
So tomorrow you're going to be celebrating the International Francophonie Day. Could you perhaps tell us a bit, first of all, about the significance of this day, particularly in a France-Malaysia context?
The Francophonie is about cultural diversity. It's about 88 countries which share the French language as their heritage or as their cultural practice. And this is also the case in Malaysia, where we have 20,000 students in over 100 schools learning French, perhaps because there is a great tradition and I would say a great strength in Malaysia with cultural diversity and being able to speak in many languages. So I think that Malaysia and Francophonie are actually things that go well together.
But of course, now we also do have this one big thing in common that most of the world does have in common as well, which is COVID-19. Now, Ambassador, I'd like to take a look at the situation in France to give us, perhaps you could give us a bit of a picture of what's happening there, because daily infections have come down from the height of 86,000 cases that we saw in November, but you're still charting over 20,000 a day and it's rising. So, for those of us who are perhaps looking at a time when borders might reopen, when do you think we'll see France's caseload come under control?
Well, I can tell you that we are actually taking this pandemic, of course, very seriously. You're right that the numbers have come down. We are now looking at daily figures of around 20,000. We have been taking very strict measures in terms of curfews, localized lockdowns, travel restrictions, etc. The hopeful thing, of course, is that like so many other countries, indeed like Malaysia, we have started our vaccination campaign. We have now around 5 million people who have been injected with the first shot of the vaccine. That's still a small percentage of the overall population, around 7% or so. And we hope that comes the summer, we will be in a better position. Of course, what this pandemic has taught us, I think, all over the world, is that it's very difficult, actually, to have a view of what is going to happen next.
And yet, so speaking of that vaccination rollout, Ambassador, there are reports as well of more than three quarters of AstraZeneca vaccines remaining unused in France. Quite the turnabout compared to the start of the year when the concern was all about the delay in AstraZeneca's delivery. So how big of a problem is vaccine hesitancy going to turn out to be in France?
I think vaccine hesitancy is going down as we continue with the rolldown of with the rollout of the vaccine. In fact, what we have seen is that the figures of people who had doubts about getting vaccination are actually going down as we continue to unroll this campaign.
Moving ahead to when international borders are also going to be reopened, France has announced a small-scale trial of vaccine passports. Currently, it's only been between France and the French territories of Martinique and Guadeloupe. But how high would Malaysia be on the list of countries also to be included in this, assuming this is something that France continues to roll forward with?
I think, you know, this one has to be very careful about the words one uses talking about this. One thing is proof of vaccination, which can be carried through various means, including through a certificate issued by the World Health Organization, or as the case might be, also digitally. So one thing is a proof that you have got the vaccine. Another thing is what you would call a passport. And this is a bit more complicated, I must say. We're not all out decided as of now in favor of a vaccine passport for essentially two reasons. One, at this juncture, the science does not tell us whether having been vaccinated actually prevents the spread of the disease. That's one point. And second, of course, there is the issue of discrimination and equity. Why would you forbid people to travel because they haven't had the vaccine when actually vaccination is based on a voluntary decision? It's not compulsory in Malaysia. It's not compulsory in France. So there are two different things here. One thing is proof of vaccination, and the other is, of course, this vaccine passport, which is a shorthand for resuming travels, etc., but which, when you come to think about it, is actually more complicated than you would think.
So taking a look at economic ties now, Ambassador, according to the UN Comtrade database, Malaysian exports to France came up to $1.52 billion in 2019, while Malaysian imports from France stood at $2.62 billion during that same time. Now, $1 billion in trade deficits, no small matters, but I was wondering, what are some of the areas that you can see with potential perhaps to increase the flows of trade, perhaps increase as well Malaysian exports to France?
You know what the British say? They say there are three sorts of lies. There are lies, damn lies, and statistics. Well, I'm not saying that your statistics are lying, but of course, you know, trade statistics are always very difficult to manipulate. One thing, because different customs, of course, account for things differently. But to go back to your question, I think that we can see in these figures the impact of the pandemic. I mean, one of the strengths of the French imports to, or the French exports to Malaysia, is in the aeronautic sector, planes, to speak. Plainly. This, of course, has taken a very strong impact from the pandemic. Also, you have to take into account that with 300 French companies in Malaysia, some of the Malaysian exports are actually exports by French companies in Malaysia back to the European market, for instance. This is the case, for instance, in electronic components. I'm just saying this by way of explanation that, you know, statistics are a bit more complex than you would think. But to come back to your question, I think there's very good potential of increasing this this trade in various sectors. For instance, there is the whole sector of waste management, the sector of water management, etc., where French companies, I think, have a keen interest in investing in the Malaysian markets, and vice versa. Another thing also is, I think that in Malaysia you have very big funds, public funds. Dazana is one of them, but there are many others. And of course, they are looking for places to invest, and I think this is one of the things that we're currently looking at, is possibilities for Malaysians to invest in France, notably in the high-tech sector. We have a very thriving fintech and high-tech sector in France with over 500 companies. Most of them are looking to raise funds. This is perhaps something that would interest some of the Malaysian funds and therefore rebalance the relationship between Malaysia and France, where at present you have more French investments to Malaysia than Malaysian investments to France.
So have these discussions perhaps with these public funds like Khazana already begun, Ambassador, or is this something a little further down in future?
Well, we are only starting this, yes. And I'm looking forward to increasing this as my mission evolves.
I'm speaking with His Excellency Roland Galarrague, the Ambassador of France to Malaysia. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is His Excellency Roland Galarrague, the Ambassador of France to Malaysia. In your conversations with French companies, Ambassador, what are some of the challenges that they bring up to you as well when it comes to investing in Malaysia? Because from other sources, we've also heard, you know, business communities are very aware of the political uncertainty, for example, that we face here in Malaysia.
I mean, there have been issues, for instance, over the possibility of hiring foreigners in their workforce, for instance. But I must say that we have been able to rely on the help and the support of the various Malaysian agencies. MIDA is one of them. Of course, the Department for International Trade is another. So I think that despite the current political circumstances in Malaysia, the government and the leadership of this country are very well aware that the prosperity of Malaysia is about trade, is about cross-investment, and they are essentially putting their mouth where their money is.
So Malaysia has also filed a complaint with the World Trade Organization over EU rules affecting the consumption of palm oil-based biofuels. Now, this charges that the EU, in particular France and Lithuania, had imposed restrictive measures about the use of palm oil that violate international trade agreements. What's your view on this, particularly as you have just arrived in the country? This is something that you will no doubt have to deal with over the course of your tenure.
Well, first of all, I must say that we welcome the fact that Malaysia has gone to WTO. In fact, we are of the same view. I mean, we think that trade disputes must be ruled according to international law and while using multilateral institutions. And so we welcome this. That's the first point. The second point, I would like perhaps to indicate that at no point has there been any ban of palm oil, either in the EU or in France, for that matter. What the French Parliament decided a number of months ago now is to suppress a tax break which was given to palm oil in biofuels. The French Parliament decided this before the European Commission actually decided it. So that's why we are part of these proceedings at WTO. Now, on the one hand, I would say that biofuels are not going to expand presumably in the future as electricity becomes the main source of energy for the automotive industries and for transportation generally. That's one point. The second point is that I think we've made good progress with Malaysia and Indonesia over the issue of palm oil. At the last EU-ASEAN meeting, we decided to establish a working group, a bilateral working group on all vegetable oils, which is something that Malaysia and Indonesia in particular had been asking for some time. This working group has met already once. It will meet again shortly. And I think that palm oil actually has the potential to become a topic for cooperation between the EU and ASEAN, and certainly between France and Malaysia. We have, I think, a joint interest in making sure that palm oil is a sustainable, is cultivated in a sustainable way. And we have a joint interest in working towards this direction jointly. And I think this is exactly what we are doing. So I'm not too worried about palm oil.
It's encouraging to hear you say that, Ambassador, because I think one of the very prevalent feelings on the ground here is that the removal of this tax break on palm oil's use in biofuels is the tip of the iceberg, that this could perhaps lead to further implications on palm oil's use in other industries as well. And of course, we being one of the major palm oil producers in the world, this is of great importance to us. So with that in mind, perhaps, you know, how do we address the impression that EU countries, particularly France, are discriminating against these palm oil producers like Malaysia and Indonesia, the world's largest producers?
No, let me repeat, there's absolutely zero discrimination against palm oil at present. If you look at the figures, the EU remains the third biggest market for palm oil. But it is also true, and I think that the Malaysian government should be aware of this, it is also true that questions are being raised by consumers about palm oil because of the impact on deforestation sometimes, but also because of the intrinsic merits or lack thereof of palm oil as a foodstuff. I would recommend that the Malaysian producers of palm oil, and I know that this is a crop that is absolutely key to Malaysia, both economically and also politically. I think 55 constituencies in Malaysia out of 222 members of parliament have palm oil as one of their main crops. I would really recommend that a campaign to promote palm oil be launched by the Malaysian respective bodies in Europe as well. Now, Europe, of course, is not the only country or not the only part of the world where palm oil faces problems. You also have different issues being raised in the US. So this also perhaps should be addressed by the palm oil industry in this country. I actually know that they are starting to do so, and this is certainly a good thing.
All right. So, Ambassador, I also just now want to pivot the conversation a little bit towards the other avenue of cooperation, which has been widely touted between France and Malaysia, which is education. So last year, I believe the French embassy introduced several new scholarships for students continuing their tertiary education in France. What other major pushes can we perhaps expect to encourage a higher movement of students between our two countries?
Well, you know, talking about movements, of course, is a bit
a little bit premature, perhaps, right now.
Under the current circumstances. But I must say that this was one of the things that really struck me when I arrived to this country is the intensity of the student exchanges between our two countries. I mean, according to our figures, we have over 900 Malaysian students in France. A lower figure of French students in Malaysia, but this is really impressive, and they are studying, you know, mostly sciences, engineering, high tech stuff. So this is really key for the future of this country, and hopefully also for the future of the relationship between our two countries. And I must stress in this regard that we are really working in sync with the Malaysian government, and I do hope that whenever international travel resumes for good after this pandemic, we will continue to do so.
And yet, I think a big concern would be amongst parents would be the rise in reports of crimes against Asians as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic, and also the specter of Islamophobia. Now, this is something that has been reported with more frequency out of France over the past few years. And your embassy has come out to address these concerns as well, saying that President Macron draws a distinction between a small segment of militant extremists and the majority of France's Muslim population. And yet you see reports of an outcry even amongst France's activists, saying that the measures put in place by the French government, while they are said to be targeting extremist groups, are also having ripple effects on the Muslim community as well in the country. So how would you allay these concerns?
I can tell you that the determination of my government and my country to fight any form of racism, and I say any form, irrespective of who might be the target of these acts, is absolute. We have a very strong series of measures in place whereby racist acts, racist provocations, incitement to hatred, etc., will simply not tolerate it. I'm not saying there are not, of course, cases of racist behaviors in France. Certainly this is the case. Of course, it happens. And when it happens, it must be, of course, dealt with, and, you know, people responsible must be brought before justice, etc. But I think still it would be absolutely wrong, and it would be not in touch with reality to depict France as a sort of entirely a hell of a racist country. This is simply not the case. Actually, the tradition of my country is very much like the tradition of Malaysia. It's about multiculturalism inside and multilateralism outside. Like Malaysia, we have a very diverse and vibrant society in France. We are a country like Malaysia, whose citizens come from all quarters of the world. We have, a fairly broad record of being interested and knowing, to some extent, foreign cultures. And I can tell you that cosmopolitanism is certainly part and parcel of French culture. That's the way we are brought up. That's the way we see us. So it would be wrong to say, it would be a shortcut, and I think not in keeping with reality, to say that France is a racist country. It would all be also wrong, I think, to forget about the dreadful terrorist attacks that French people have had to suffer over the years, and which have made quite a number of victims. So we're trying to walk a very thin line. We're trying to strike a balance there. It's not easy, admittedly, but I think we are getting there.
Mm. We do also have agencies like Anadolu Agency has reported a rise, a 53% rise in crimes against Muslims in France in 2020. Is this a case of media sensationalism, or is it the case that there's also no smoke without a fire?
Well, it is not a secret that the relations between my country and Turkey have undergone a series of bumps recently. So I would really call on your listeners to make sure that they get the facts right before believing what this or that press agency reports. But yes, I mean, there have been racist incidents. I'm not denying this, of course. But as I told you, we have a very stringent practice. And of a policy of making sure that racist incitement and call to hatred are really prosecuted.
Well, thank you very much for clearing that up for us, Ambassador. It's been a pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you very much.
I've been speaking with His Excellency Roland Galarrague, the Ambassador of France to Malaysia, in conjunction with International Francophonie Day, celebrated tomorrow. This has been The Breakfast Grill. I'm Lynn Mark, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, unleashing unlimited potential every day.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.